Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help people find peace by connecting to themselves, to their truth, to others, to the world. And funny enough, we're talking today about when to disconnect. And there are a lot of listeners all around the world in a lot of different countries that have very different cultural ideas about this. But we're talking today about family, when and how to walk away, or when and how to reconnect. And in some cultures around the world, the idea of walking away from family is completely unheard of. And I get that. And there are a number of cultures wherein you'd be a fool to walk away. It's an issue of survival that you must maintain good relations with the family. And there are cultures where people say that you should do whatever your parents say, no matter what age or stage of life that you're at. Even if it means you're miserable. So I'm going to take a bit of a more Western view on it today. So keep an open mind. It doesn't mean I'm right. This is just coming from my own experience. And it's a little bit of a Western view, this idea of walking away from family sometimes. But it's really, really important that you leave that door open to walk back. And so today we're going to talk about when and how to walk away and when and how to walk back, which is equally important. So let me begin with the harsh truth. Your family is under no obligation to be nice to you. It's not illegal to be an asshole, even to your own family. Even to your own children, even to your own parents, even to your own aunts and uncles and cousins and sisters and brothers. And sometimes close family like that, that ideally should love you unconditionally and support you and be so kind and loving to you, they don't. Sometimes they don't. And it sucks to be you, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes your parents may be awful to you. Sometimes your children may be awful to you. Sometimes your brothers and sisters and cousins may be awful to you. It happens. And I think it was Ram Dass who said that if you think you're enlightened, go spend a week with your family. It's a really, really good point. Our family drives us nuts, but I'm talking about times when it's actually an unhealthy relationship, right? It's different from just kind of driving you nuts. We all do that. So sometimes family members are mean, sometimes they're abusive, and sometimes they're much worse. And usually what's happening there is their humanity and their ideologies get so wrapped around their egos. And this is a horrible mix of things. That they can be horrible to their own children and parents and brothers and sisters. And it happens to the best of us too. You know, I'm not throwing stones. My house is all glass here. There have been times when my ego and my ideology and my humanity all collided and wrapped up together and I behaved horribly. And it's kind of our lot in life that when you sort of get past stage 7, you get into stage 8 and later, and you can see your own humanity, you're going to have a little embarrassment at those types of moments. But there's most of society is not there yet. And so it's entirely possible that people could be mean to you, and those people could be your family. So I'm sorry, life is not fair. We don't all get the perfect TV family, or we don't even get that fake perfect family that everybody posts on Facebook. You know, you're not posting the bad stuff. You're only posting the perfect happy stuff. But that's not reality either. Sometimes you are the asshole. Be ready to face that and have responsibility for that if that's the case. Other times you simply lose the lottery on that one and you get a family member who's not nice to you. It can be quite nasty. And sometimes you need to walk away for your own sake. Sometimes you need to walk away for their sake. And sometimes you need to walk back. So let's start by talking about when to walk away. If you're being abused verbally, physically, or otherwise, walk away. If they are working against you, professionally, socially, or otherwise, make sure you have proof. Walk away. If they're intentionally doing or saying things to be hurtful or vindictive, walk away. If they're on drugs and refuse to get help, walk away. I bet you can think of a few more situations where it might be a good idea to walk away. If you feel like you need to, then you probably do. Unhealthy relationships with parents and siblings and extended family need to be exited sometimes. Sometimes your relationships with a spouse needs to be exited. But that is way too big an issue for this article. So we're just going to, this podcast, we're just going to focus on the family beyond the spouse. So let's talk about how to walk away. If you've decided that you need to make an exit, how you exit is the key to your own peace of mind. And it's also the key to possibly leaving the door open for reconnection later. And I know that if you're in a position right now where you feel you need to walk away from a particular family member, you're probably not imagining a time when you would ever want to have a relationship with them again. But I'm just saying, leave the door open so that you have the option later. It doesn't mean you need to take that option, but it's better to have that option for a myriad of reasons, which I'll get to. So the overarching thing about walking away from family is to be kind. Be kind, even if they are not. Why? Because you're never going to regret being kind. But you will regret at some point when you wake up, you will regret not being kind. So that's really the overarching key, is to be kind. Before you walk away, have a conversation with them and express yourself kindly. Find out if they even knew their behavior was hurtful. And if they insist on continuing their hurtful behavior once they know it's hurtful behavior, then at least you can exit with confidence. Now, I have done poorly in this part before. So learn from my mistakes and do not make a dramatic scene. This is the last thing you want to do. I believe it would be much smarter to just quietly fade away. And please correct me if you have evidence to the otherwise. And I get it. You have a point to make and you want to defend yourself and you want them to learn a lesson or whatever, but none of that actually works. You will personally feel better if you just fade away gracefully and quietly. You're not going to teach them anything. They're not going to change at this point in time. Because if at this point in time you've said, hey, this behavior is hurtful, would you stop doing that? And they go, huh, no, I'm not going to stop doing that. Then they're not interested in learning from you at that point, clearly. So your big dramatic scene that you put on isn't going to change anything. And you'll only be kind of embarrassed about it later on. So don't do that. Just fade away gracefully. So what does that mean? When they invite you to things, be busy. When they try to call, maybe be in a meeting or be out where it's noisy and text them instead. Oh, it's really noisy here. Sorry, I can't call. Fading away means calling less frequently. dropping down to the occasional text message, sort of quietly blocking them on social media maybe, and eventually blocking them on your phone if you need to. But slowly fade into non-communication. And you may be surprised that they don't notice and that they don't mind. Because they may want a break from you too. If there's this much friction in the relationship, you may be shocked to find they're happy to see you go. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. And now then, how embarrassing would your dramatic scene be if they're actually happy to see you walk away? It happens. So the key is to not take it personally, right? If they're nasty to you enough for you to want to walk away, it means they do not currently have the capacity to love you enough to care that you're walking away, right? And usually if you're making a big dramatic scene, you're trying to get them to be like, oh man, I really screwed up and now they don't want anything to do with me. But the fact is, if they're being hurtful to you right now, they don't really have the capacity to love you, and therefore would not have the capacity to care that you walked away. Do you see how that works? The capacity to love is equivalent to the capacity to love yourself. And usually if somebody's being nasty to other people, it's usually based on their own issues and their own fears and their own stuff that they're dealing with. It's about them, and you've heard that, and it's cliche, but it's true. And it's really about their capacity to love themselves and sort of a lashing out. And so if they don't have the capacity to care for you, they don't have the capacity to care that you're walking away. So making a scene is just pretty silly. Fade away and don't expect them to actually mind very much, because they probably won't. They're probably too absorbed in their own issues. So that is how to do it. Again, do not make a big scene. Just fade away. It's actually a lot easier to do than you think. And so what that does is, one, you'll have nothing to look back and be embarrassed about. You'll have nothing to look back and regret. You were kind, and it leaves the door open, although you don't have to choose to walk through it again and reconnect. So let's talk about when to reconnect. So while it's true that some people do not change, people often change over time. I've talked over and over again about the cycle of human development. And you can see yourself on this cycle. You can see these family members on the same cycle. And you can see that they're going to develop. Most people get to at least stage six before they leave this earth. More and more people are getting even further, but it'll give you an idea of how far they need to get, what kind of development is necessary before they're going to be in a place where they have the capacity for a real relationship, and they're less likely to be nasty, right? So people who are in stage 3, 4, and 5 have the capacity to be very, very nasty. And go back and review those stages. If that's not familiar, go to the website and just do a search for cycle or cycle of human development or human development, and take a look at that. And that'll give you an idea of how far they really need to come. If they're in stage 5, which is I am my ideology, and they're lashing out at you because you conflict with that ideology in some capacity, then you may not have a whole lot of time to wait until they get to stage 6, which is a little bit more of to each their own in terms of ideologies, and they won't feel the need to lash out at you. However, if they're in stage 3, I am my needs, and you are not even human to them, you're just a mechanism for the fulfillment of their needs, they've got a lot longer to go. Nothing you do is going to push that along. Let's be really, really clear about that. A dramatic exit is not going to cause them to reevaluate their development. Only the natural course of life can do that. So don't push that on them, right? That's their journey, not yours. So people evolve through the stages of development, and so do you. This is really important. None of us, or very few of us, are stagnating. So you may both reach stages where reconnection is possible. Maybe they're in rehab, or maybe they have experienced a significant life event that changes their perspective. The thing is, you can't force this moment. The right time will present itself to you, and you will just know it. You will just know that this is the right time. Now, this might take months, or years, or decades, or possibly a lifetime. But so be it. Now you'll know it's the right time because you'll feel compelled to reconnect, as will they. Now, be careful that what you're feeling is truly a compelling, that you're not being manipulated or guilted, but that you feel an actual true compelling from the depths of your soul to attempt a reconnection. The right time to connect is when you have personally evolved to not need anything from them. If you need their approval, if you need their money, if you need something from them, then you're not ready yet. It's not time to reconnect. And it has to be when you're ready to come on independent terms from a place of compassion. And that is the time to reconnect, and not before. And this goes, and parents can often get this wrong. So if you're a parent wanting to reconnect with a child, make sure you don't feel just compelled because you feel guilty about not having a relationship with that child right now. If that child needs space from you right now, then they need space. And you need to honor that. And be careful when you think to yourself that you don't need anything from them, because as parents, we are susceptible to thinking we don't need anything from our kids, but then actually sort of needing some sort of love or feedback or something like that. And it comes down to our fear of being a bad parent, or it comes down to fears and insecurities. So you've got to make sure that you're past that place too. So how to reconnect. This is a little bit more complicated. And the worst scenario I can imagine is one where there is a complete breach of trust. It's very, very hard. There is no love without trust. Well, there can be certain types of love without trust, but it is a complicated issue. So let me share my story with you, because I think it gets to the heart of the key ingredients for reconnection. So in April of 2018, my father found himself in the intensive care unit, and my mom asked me to come down. I got on a plane the next day. Something called me to do it. And I realized that it does not seem odd at all. However, my relationship with my parents has been non-existent at best for years, and adversarial at its worst, with multiple incidences of what I can only characterize as stabbing me in the back. So their ideologies had come wrapped around their egos, and it collided with their humanity, and I had made some life choices that they didn't agree with, and it got really, really ugly. And it is what it is. And I chose to get some space for a little while. And it was lovely to have that room to breathe. And it was necessary. So why would I put myself back into that? It was 5 years since I had walked away for my own sake, when my dad openly stated that he intended to continue the hurtful behavior. And he did continue the hurtful behavior. It was just in my absence. So why the hell would I choose to put myself in the same room with people who outright state that they're going to continue hurtful behavior? And that's where it gets really, really interesting. So something told me this would be different, or it would at least somehow be a growth opportunity for me. Major medical trauma can make people think. Maybe they had changed. And call me selfish, but in addition to wanting to feel like I did the right thing, I wanted to test the level of my developmental progress. Was I as enlightened as I thought? And the challenge to bring compassion and peace and joy to someone who had previously consciously and actively worked against me, and may still be consciously and actively working against me, this was too much to pass up. I had to see if I could do it. So those 3 days were a test of my ability to stay in the later stages of the development cycle and carry out my mission to bring peace to others. And the result was rather remarkable. I worked consciously to remain centered and focused on the mission. I found that I had zero need for their approval, and that was new. I hadn't had that before. I felt empowered in my ability to see their truth and to see their humanity. And I was successful in bringing peace and joy to both of my parents. I found my dad to be somewhat less likely, but nearly as likely, to potentially betray me as he ever was, but I did not feel threatened by that in the least. In fact, I didn't feel threatened by anything, and that was also new. Now, don't get me wrong, my parents did not change that much on the outside. So why did this go so well? It went well because there was a softening. And there was a significant change on the inside. So here's what changed. First, my parents did not berate me. I sound shocked to say it, but I was delightedly shocked to see it. They did not. They did not berate me. They were kind and they were compassionate to me. They appreciated my presence, and we had many fascinating and wonderful conversations about subjects of common interest. Second, my parents had moved from stage 5, I am my ideology and must attack anyone who believes otherwise. They had moved to stage 6, which is I have my ideology and others have theirs and it's all good. So my life choices, although still at odds with theirs, no longer made them feel like they needed to attack me or control me. Third, I did not berate them either. I was kind and compassionate to them. I did not come with a grudge. I had forgiven them. I saw their humanity. I saw their actions as reflecting on them, not me. So I could just be kind. Now understand that to forgive doesn't mean that you forget, and it does not mean that you condone. It means that you see their humanity and you see your own humanity and you feel compassion for that common humanity, this common experience that we're all going through called being human. The fourth, I didn't need or want anything from them. I didn't need their approval. I didn't need their money. I didn't need their kind words. I didn't need their loyalty or anything else. I was there to give peace, and I did not want anything in return. Fifth, I had a change of perspective. And this is really key. I heard somewhere that in addition to living like it's your last day, right? Where it says live like it's your last day. But in addition to doing that, treat everyone else like it's their last day, right? So think of somebody that you're kind of at odds with. How would you treat them if it was their last day? And I love this. And in this case, when it comes to my parents, how would I treat them if it was their last day? Well, easy. I would be kind. I wouldn't be naive, but I would be kind. And this perspective has given me fantastic insight into how to treat everyone, from strangers on the street to relatives. And just think about how you would treat them if it was their last day, and treat them that way. And mostly that's treating them really, really kindly. And for people that you really, really, really don't like, how would you treat them on their last day? You would probably leave them alone and party. I don't know. So we're only human after all. So that was a huge perspective shift for me. And lastly, I had worked very, very hard in recent years to remove any and all vulnerabilities that I may have once had. Legal vulnerabilities, financial vulnerabilities, social vulnerabilities, psychological vulnerabilities. I had really, really worked on my development and getting my life situation to a place where I was not vulnerable. So nobody can hurt me because I don't owe anything to anyone and my life is an open book. And this was critical. In short, I had nothing to lose by being kind. I cannot stress enough that both sides had to be ready to just be kind and to see each other's humanity and to recognize that none of us is under any obligation to the other. And the result of this evolution and this kinder, more compassionate interaction was a reconnection that I think my parents and I both benefited from. It closed a chapter in my life and in theirs, and it patched up something that was weighing on me and I'm sure was weighing on them, or maybe not, I don't know. But it patched up something. It lifted a weight. It tied up a loose end. Now, in the movies, this is the point now where we're all, you know, super close and connected and back to the perfect family forever, laughing and smiling together. And I hate to be the one to tell you, but that's not how relationships work. Our relationship progressed to the occasional phone call, discussing safe subjects of common interest. And that is a huge step. That's huge. And, you know, that's great. That's where it's at. That's really good. But we must be realistic. The damage of betrayal cannot be undone. And the older you get, the harder it is to change your perspective. Our relationship will never be what it was, and that's not just okay, that is necessary. That's a good thing. Parent-child relationships must be dismantled and put back together as something more peer-to-peer in order for mutual respect and kindness to persist. But a relationship built on kindness for the sake of kindness can have a compassionate sort of human brotherhood love. And I truly believe you can establish that with anyone who is also willing to be kind for the sake of kindness, whether you trust them or not. So there's the type of love that does not require trust. It's kind of a human brotherhood love. You know, that I can see your humanity and I can love your humanity and the fact that we share this experience being human on this earth together at the same time. And I think, moreover, that you should seek to establish that with those who deserve it the least. Because your kindness has the potential to change their hearts and therefore humanity at large the most. So you might ask, if a basic sort of brotherly love is the best you can do, why bother? Because at the end of life, many people regret what they left undone, unsaid, and unfinished. And in addition, when I returned from this trip, there was a weight lifted and a new space opened in my attention that allowed me to be more creative and productive. We all had something positive out of it. So where does it go from here? I don't know. And that's okay. That is okay. Regardless, we have a foundation of kindness, and that can only lead to good things. If you have wronged someone and you want to find a way to reconnect, or if someone has wronged you and you want to safely reconnect, maybe my experience can lead you to how to do that. So let's recap what went right with the how to reconnect. The mechanics of it is just do it. Start with a text or a letter. Work your way up to a phone call. Work your way up to a video call. Work your way up to a visit and a coffee or whatever. Take it one step at a time. But more importantly, much, much more importantly, because the mechanics will work themselves out, what you need to work on is you. You need to make sure that you're evolved to a stage where you don't need anything from them. So if you wronged someone, prepare to come with an apology. It helps. It helps the process. But make sure you don't need anything from them, because it taints and jeopardizes the whole thing. If someone has wronged you, make sure you don't need anything from them. Again, you need to be able to come from a place where your only goal in this reconnection is to treat them like you would if it was their last day. Just to be kind. To be whatever they need right now, without looking for anything in return. So if they wronged you, don't go looking for the apology, because now you need something from them, right? Go with a goal that only you control. You know, for example, I'm going to go be kind. You can control that. It doesn't require them to do anything to meet your goal. So all of this is in the article on the website, or most of this, the details called Family, When and How to Walk Away or Reconnect. And especially in the U.S., this is very, very common that we take breaks from family members. And it's not weird. I think someone once called Americans the cutoff generation, because of the frequency with which we kind of walk away from family members and then come back. And we all live very independently of each other, which makes it easy to do. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's a really good thing to take a break. Take a little break and put a little distance between you and any unhealthy relationships that may exist. Just because they're family doesn't mean you have to put up with that. So I hope that my experience and this will be helpful to you. If you have questions on this or anything else, you can send them to questions@koabd.com. And now there's a form on the website. So if you go to koabd.com, which will forward you to katharinecolleen.com, katharinecolleen.com. Over on the community page, there's a form you can fill out now. You can send in a question by using a web form, and you can do that too. And we're going to experiment with a new thing. We're going to put up a Slack channel. So if you like Slack, I dig it. It's a very cool app where we can chat and help each other and form a kind of a group chat thing of with everyone, because I find it's incredibly difficult to find other people who are dedicated to self-inquiry. But what I realize with the thousands of people from all over the world that are coming to the website, that are listening to the podcast, I see you out there. I see you on my web stats. Thanks for joining us. But what I see is that you're not alone. There are quite a number of us out there. And I want to make a way for us to connect with each other. Me to you, you to each other, so that going through this process doesn't have to feel quite so alone, especially in stage seven, can feel incredibly isolated. And it doesn't need to, because the number of people that I have in-person contact with day to day that are in these stages is everybody's going through it. So you're not alone. So I have created a Slack channel. If you would like to join it, go to the community page at the website. Again, it's KatherineColleen.com or KOABD.com will take you there as well. Fill out the form. I will send you an invitation to the Slack channel, or you can just ask me a question and let me know how I can help. Whew, that's a pretty intense one for today, so I think that'll be enough, but thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time.